Today being Awana Sunday, I'm not going to give you a full study like we would normally have, and so you have no outline in your bulletins. There is a little sheet of paper. You can take a few notes if you're interested, but we're going to kind of focus on Awana today. But first, let me state that the Walker family has strong genes, and I don't mean blue genes. We're talking about, you know, the genetics type thing. Strong genes. When I was just a child, I remember being at my grandmother's house, and I was looking through a box of pictures and came across one of these little, what we call a wallet-sized picture, old black and white. It was faded by then. And I said, "Look, Mama, here's a picture of me." And she said, "No, that's not you, honey. That's your daddy." Well, looking back now, I can see, yeah, I probably did bear a pretty good resemblance to my dad at that particular point in time. My granddaddy, I didn't see my dad as looking like him in those years of my childhood, but now looking back, I can look at the pictures and say, yeah, my dad looked like my granddaddy. My granddaddy had several boys and a bunch of girls, and those boys, for the most part, bore a resemblance to my granddaddy. I think it's the nose, actually, and that's still being passed on. So even as I look at my family, my siblings, three boys and a girl, these three boys, one of them took after my maternal grandfather, and then the other two, myself and my brother Rick, took after my dad and my grandfather. Matter of fact, there was such a striking resemblance between my brother Rick and me that when Kim and I were getting married way back in 1978, Kim's niece, who was seven at the time, had been out and seen all of the wedding party assembling, and then Kim was back in the room where brides are supposed to be, you know, and so my niece went back there and she said, "You need to be really careful when you go out there and make sure you marry the right guy, because there's another guy that looks just like Keith out there." Well, I wouldn't say that I look just like him, but there's certainly that resemblance. It's a genetic resemblance. And now, of course, I've got two boys of my own, and certainly you've been able to already see that my younger son bears a resemblance to me. I'm older and fatter, but he'll get there. Unfortunately, although our physical characteristics can be passed on genetically, spiritual characteristics are not passed on in such a way. Spiritual characteristics require effort. They require work as we attempt to pass these on to our children and to future generations. God's design is, and always has been, for parents to provide a spiritual education for their children. Way back in Deuteronomy chapter 6, there's a very familiar passage of Scripture, verses 5 through 9, that I want to read for you. Deuteronomy 6, 5 says, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. And these words that I command you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates." God was telling His people that in order for you to pass on that spiritual education, that it's going to require effort, a lot of effort, concerted effort, and a focus. You shall be diligently teaching your children the truths of God's Word. This has always been God's plan for the spiritual education for the next generation, is that we as parents have a responsibility to teach our kids the truths of God's Word, to make sure they are constantly exposed to it, to keep it as a sign in front of their face, as something that they see each time they use their hands, so to speak. In every way, we are to communicate the truth of God's Word. More recently in our Bible studies here on Sunday morning, we've been studying Ephesians. And Ephesians 6, 4 says, "Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord." This is just reiterating the responsibility that parents have to bring up their children with this spiritual education. to teach our children those things that they're not going to get genetically. They have to get them because of our efforts, because of our desire and our commitment to teach them the truths of God's Word. It is the responsibility of parents, not the church, to raise children. It is the responsibility of parents, not the church, to raise children. Now, it is true, parents do have that responsibility, and I'm not suggesting that the church is not to be involved. I'm just saying that the responsibility falls, the obligation, the accountability falls to the parents. But the church is involved. The church is to provide resources that augment and support the raising of children. The one another's of Scripture speak to the church. Whenever we come across the expression in the New Testament, one another, he's not talking to unbelievers. He's talking about brothers and sisters in Christ. He's talking about those of us who are bound together by our common faith in the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So each time you read a one another, you can read that understanding this is the way the church is supposed to operate. So we read in the Scriptures that we belong to one another, that we are to love one another. That's a commandment that is repeated several times. We read it in the Old Testament. We read Jesus emphasizing it in the New. We read it in the epistles of the apostles. We are to love one another. We are to forgive one another, the Scriptures teach. So even when we've got issues between us that might cause conflict, according to the Scripture, we are family and we are to forgive one another. And we have certain responsibilities toward one another. The Scriptures teach these things. For example, in Colossians chapter 3, verse 16, Colossians 3:16, we read, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God." Colossians 3:16 deals with one another's, and it deals with responsibilities that we have. This verse indicates that we support one another through the communication of God's Word that we are holding in our hearts, the Word of Christ dwelling in us richly, and then we use the Word of Christ as a source of encouraging one another and teaching one another. We support one another through the teaching of the Bible, not just the teaching that I do on any given Sunday morning when I'm preaching a message or when Pastor Caleb is preaching a message, but the teaching that we have in each of our classes where we do Bible studies together, the teaching that takes place in all of our Sunday school classes, our vacation Bible school, indeed in Awana. We are teaching the Bible, and this is a part of the support that we provide for one another. We support one another through instructing and encouraging each other regarding living the Christian life. I am certain that many of us would be able to testify that after having gathered on a given Sunday morning where we hear the Word of God being proclaimed and we sing songs of worship and challenge to one another, that we're able to walk out of here with a greater sense of commitment to living the life God has called us to live. That's part of what we do. That's a part of the responsibility of the church, is to provide that kind of encouragement and instruction. We support one another by giving wise advice to fellow Christians. Obviously, this falls into the category of pastoral counseling, but it's not limited to that. It's any time two brothers or sisters in Christ sit together and they discuss what issues are going on in their lives, and they turn to the Scriptures and say, well, what about this passage that helps us know how we are to act and what we're supposed to do? This is what we do for one another. We provide that encouragement. We provide that wise advice. We support one another through corporate worship, as we do here every Sunday morning. These songs, hymns, spiritual songs, these are things that we are doing together through corporate worship that support one another. We support one another through expressions of thanksgiving, as he says, with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And so we spend time in prayer. We spend time proclaiming to God that we are grateful, we are thankful for all he has done. The truth is that families need the church. It's not just families. Every one of us needs the church. But let me focus for a moment on this reality. You as a family, you need the church, especially those of you who are still raising children at home, or as, whether it's your own children or grandchildren. The family needs the church. The church provides the resources and the support so that families can be more effective in obeying God's command to raise up the next generation in the way of the Lord. It is the responsibility of parents to do that. It is the support structure of the church that gives you what you need in order to do that effectively. Indeed, the church stirs us up to do what God desires. Hebrews 10, 24 and 25 says, "Let us consider how to stir one another up to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together as the habit of some is, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near." Consider how we can stir one another up to love and good deeds. This is what we do. This is why we need the church. You need the church. Families need the church to stir one another to love and good deeds. Yes, it's the responsibility of parents to see that their children are brought up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. But at the same time, God has given to the church the gift of, for example, pastors and also teachers who can help equip both parents and children by ministering to them through God's holy word, the Bible. So we need the church. We need one another. The only spiritual education that has eternal value is that which is rooted in the truth of God's holy word. Listen to what Paul told Pastor Timothy in 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. "All scripture is breathed out by God and is profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work." God's word is given to us for that purpose. It covers every area of life, and it is intended to make us complete, equipped for every good work. You have access to God's word even now. We are thankful that of all the nations of the world, we have, I'm sure, more Bibles than any. Every one of us probably has multiple Bibles in our residence. Now we've got Bibles on our phones. We can open the Bible anywhere, anytime these days. And it is God's Word, the Bible, that makes us complete, equipped for every good work. And God has given the church pastors and teachers to be able to teach us what the Bible says. Church leadership is commissioned by the Lord to provide biblical instruction for the benefit of all who will hear. We read these words of Paul to Pastor Timothy in 2 Timothy 4:2. "Preach the word, be ready in season and out of season, reprove, rebuke, and exhort with complete patience and teaching." I take that command seriously. It's 2,000 years old. It was given to Timothy, but God included it in His Word so that all of those who are in ministry can recognize this is my responsibility as a pastor. Preach the Word. Be ready in season and out of season, no matter what's happening. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with complete patience and teaching. So we take God's Word and we prepare it in such a way as to be able to communicate it to you so that your Christian life can be what God desires it to be. So that you as parents or grandparents are equipped to be able to raise up your children and grandchildren in the way that God desires. For parents and grandparents, the most significant, the most critical aspect of raising children is to make sure that they hear about salvation through Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. There is no more critical message than that. For any parent, regardless of what else you may be involved in doing, the single most important thing you have is to teach your children that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life, and that no one gets to the Father except through Him. Your responsibility is to share with your children the way of salvation. Again, Ephesians 6:4, "Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord." That is your responsibility, fathers. mothers, to bring up your children in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Paul wrote to Pastor Timothy a couple of different letters. And in one of them, in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 14, he said, "As for you, continue in what you have learned and have firmly believed, knowing from whom you learned it, and how from childhood you have been acquainted with the sacred writings, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus." So he said to Timothy, you have learned this from childhood. Now we know also from another passage of Scripture that he learned this from his mother and from his grandmother before her. We know that parents aren't always unified on making sure that their children get the spiritual education that they need. Mom and dad don't always work together in this, and if one of them is not doing the job, it still falls to the other that that's your responsibility. And Timothy's a case in point, where his mother communicated to him these truths, his grandmother communicated to him these truths. Our responsibility as parents, whether mother or father, is to make sure that we are communicating the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make them wise unto salvation through Jesus Christ. That is the single most important message. The church's primary task is to communicate the truth about God sending Jesus, the Son of God, to be the Savior of the world. And so of all the other things we do, the most important message is this: Jesus Christ is the Savior of the world. Jesus Christ came to save sinners. Anything and everything that the church does that is not directly related to the proclamation of God's Word is of secondary importance. Listen to these words from Peter in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 22 through 25. "Having purified your souls by obedience to the truth, for a sincere brotherly love, love one another earnestly from a pure heart, since you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and abiding Word of God. For all flesh is like grass, and all its glory like the flower of grass. The grass withers and the flower falls, but the Word of the Lord remains forever." The Word of the Lord remains forever. We do a lot of different things at church. We have a lot of special activities. Some of them are fun. Some of them are a more serious nature. Anything that is not directly related to the proclamation of God's Word is of secondary importance, because the primary task of the church is to communicate the truth of God's Word. It is to communicate the truth of salvation through Jesus Christ. Well, I want you to know this morning that Awana is all about communicating the truth of the gospel. Awana is all about making sure that children hear the gospel of Jesus Christ as the only way of salvation. PCC is committed to supporting Christian families and spiritual education. One of our core values, for those of you who remember having seen this on one of our bookmarks, one of our core values is that building strong families is a priority. So we emphasize this aspect of what we do as a church, to build strong families. Pahrump Community Church provides this support through an assortment of ministries. Every Sunday morning at 9:30, we have a class upstairs called the Parents Encouraging Parents class. It's a Bible study time where young parents or older parents, it doesn't matter, are welcome to come in and join us. And we look at various biblical truths about how to effectively raise your children. This is what we do in order to help support families. We have a children's church ministry, and you need to understand that is not just a babysitting job. It may provide you with an opportunity to be in here without the kids for a little while, but it's not just a babysitting job. Our children's church workers are committed to communicating the truth of God's Word at a level that meets the needs of those little toddlers in children's church. Praise God for that. That's one of our supports. Our Sunday school Bible classes for children from toddlers all the way up through high school. We also have classes for adults, but as we focus on Awana and the children and the young adults, our Sunday school classes each week, we're doing that in those classes as well. We have a youth group for middle school and high school students, and I have to tell you that I think that right now the participation in our weekly youth group meetings is at an all-time high for Pahrump Community Church. I thank God that we are focused on providing this support and encouragement. And then, of course, since today is Awana Sunday, let me focus on Awana. Because Awana is, our desire is to provide that support. I want to emphasize this particular ministry in a special way today and let you know that Awana is a very valuable tool for the kingdom of God. I'm going to get some help now from my Awana leaders and my Awana clubbers. So if you are an Awana leader or clubber or helper, you can stand up right now. All right, thank you. So here's what you're going to do. We're going to recite the Awana flag pledge. We do this every Awana evening. We have our Awana flag out there. And we say, I pledge allegiance
to the Awana flag,
which stands for the Awana clubs,
whose goal is to raise boys and girls with the gospel of Christ.
Thank you very much. Our goal is to reach boys and girls with the gospel of Christ and train them to serve Him. If you were not aware of what we do in Awana, I want you to remember that statement. Here's our goal, to reach boys and girls with the gospel of Christ. That's the message of salvation. Jesus Christ came to save sinners. We're all sinners. Every boy and girl needs to hear the gospel. And to train those same boys and girls, those young men and young women, to serve Him. The name Awana is an acronym derived from our Awana key verse. Reading from 2 Timothy 2:15 in the English Standard Version, we read, "Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a worker who has no need to be ashamed, rightly handling the word of truth." So Awana, A-W-A-N-A, is approved workers are not ashamed. That's where our name comes from. It is directly from 2 Timothy 2:15. Approved workers. What does it take to be an approved worker? It means someone who is rightly dividing the word of truth, which means that we need to know the Bible and we need to rightly interpret the Bible. That's what we do with our kids on Wednesday evenings when we're working through our Awana handbooks, is to teach them to rightly divide and understand the word of truth. Approved workmen are not ashamed. We don't have to be ashamed because we know what God says and we're teaching that. So from our little bitty ones, what we call the Cubbies, up through our Sparkies and their red vests, our TNT, throughout Trek and the high school group that we call Journey, the Bible is central to everything in Awana. Let me state that again so that you don't miss it. The Bible is central to everything in Awana. The Bible is read every week in Awana. You can't come to Awana Club without hearing Bible verses. You're going to hear the Bible. And those verses are not just read, but they're explained. My kids can tell you that. I listen to them say those verses, and then I say to them, "Now, what does that mean?" "Well, I don't know." "Well, tell me what it means." Because we want them to rightly divide the word of truth. The sections in every workbook include memorizing Bible verses. You have to memorize the Scripture. If a student, like Bobby, for example, who just received our citation award, has diligently worked through all 10 of those handbooks throughout the course of their time in Awana, she has memorized somewhere in the neighborhood of 836 Bible verses. That's a lot of verses, isn't it? Over 800 Bible verses. Not only that, but she's also read and summarized all 66 books of the Bible. And she has completed a minimum of 4 service projects, either in the church or in the community, but it has to meet our criteria. The Bible is central to everything that we do in Awana. Now, Awana is not the church, but it is an important ministry of the church. We try to make sure that those students who are in Awana understand this is not church. This is a support ministry. But it's an important ministry of the church. And Awana Sunday, as we're having today, is intended to provide you with a better picture of how valuable this particular ministry really is. With dozens of leaders and scores of children and youth, PCC's Awana ministry is having an impact on our church family and indeed on our community. The impact is not simply that we provide a weekly activity for some 36 weeks of the year, but rather that we are focusing on, as Peter said, the enduring and eternal Word of God, reaching boys and girls with the gospel of Christ and training them to serve Him. Only God knows how many children and parents have come to know Christ through the Awana ministry. Only God knows how many Bible verses have been learned in Awana and will serve as an anchor for these children as they move into their young adult years and then after that begin to raise families of their own. I've heard testimonies of people that may have wandered from the Lord for a time, but then as they start having children, they remember that they were in Awana years ago and those principles start coming home to them and they say, I've got to get back where I belong in a relationship with God and get my children into church. God uses these verses that we're putting into these children's hearts, into these young adults' hearts, in such a way that in the years to come, they're going to serve as an anchor. Awana is only one of the tools that we use to prepare the next generation to love and serve God. But I would say that it has proven to be a very effective tool. I'd like you to turn in your Bibles to Psalm 145 as I wrap things up here. 145, I'm going to read all 21 verses from this chapter as we focus on what it means to communicate God's truth to the next generation. Psalm 145, verse 1. I will extol you, my God and King, and bless your name forever and ever. Every day I will bless you and praise your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised, and His greatness is unsearchable. One generation shall commend your works to another, and shall declare your mighty acts. On the glorious splendor of your majesty and on your wondrous works I will meditate. They shall speak of the might of your awesome deeds, and I will declare your greatness. They shall pour forth the fame of your abundant goodness and shall sing aloud of your righteousness. The Lord is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. The Lord is good to all, and His mercy is over all that He has made. All your works shall give thanks to you, O Lord, and all your saints shall bless you. They shall speak of the glory of your kingdom and tell of your power to make known to the children of man your mighty deeds and the glorious splendor of your kingdom. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures throughout all generations. The Lord is faithful in all His words and kind in all His works. The Lord upholds all who are falling and raises up all who are bowed down. The eyes of all look to you, and you give them their food in due season. You open your hand. You satisfy the desire of every living thing. The Lord is righteous in all His ways and kind in all His works. The Lord is near to all who call on Him, to all who call on Him in truth. He fulfills the desire of those who fear Him. He also hears their cry and saves them. The Lord preserves all who love Him, but all the wicked He will destroy. My mouth will speak the praise of the Lord, and let all flesh bless His holy name forever and ever. Amen. Here at Pahrump Community Church, we are making God known to the next generation. Through Awana, through Sunday's worship services, through our Sunday school, through our youth group, we are declaring what it means to trust in Jesus on a daily basis. And we are proclaiming that to the next generation. So let me challenge you here at the close of our service. It takes committed Christians to make ministries effective. It takes committed Christian men and women in order to make all the ministries of Pahrump Community Church work the way God intends them to work. Regardless of your level of knowledge or your specific areas of talent, you can be involved in ministries like Awana. And many of you are thinking, no, I could never do that. Yes, you can. We've got areas for you, I can assure you. You can help make the most of making God known to the next generation. If you're not currently involved in a ministry here at our church, I want to encourage you to prayerfully consider saying, yeah, I'm willing to do what I can do. All you have to do is show up. We'll give you the preparation that you need, the training that you need. We're not talking about you moving into a position of having to preach messages on Sunday. We're just talking about you being willing to help in our Awana Club as we work with boys and girls to proclaim to them the gospel of Jesus Christ. So if you're interested in that, our Awana year is just wrapped up, so it won't start again until the fall. That gives us a chance to start preparing for next fall, September. If you're interested in that, please let us know. And we'll get in touch with you after we've gotten your information, and we'll share with you how you could be involved and help out in that way. Let's pray together. Thank you, Lord, for the Awana ministry. Thank you for Art Rohrheim, the man who envisioned this ministry decades ago and carried it on decade after decade until you called him home just a couple of months ago at almost 100 years old. Thank you that that legacy lives on through the Awana clubs, both here in our own church, throughout our nation, and around the world, as we are proclaiming the good news of Jesus Christ, the gospel, so that people can know you, and we're training children to serve you. I pray that you'd continue to bless the ministry here at our own church and help each of us to be involved, if not in this ministry, then in some other, where we are having an impact on the kingdom of God. We thank you for hearing our prayer. In Jesus' name, amen.